Welcome to Uncomfortable, where real conversation meets unwavering faith. Hosted by Kirk and Vince, this podcast dives into the tough topics, the ones the church often avoids, the ones that make us wrestle with our faith, the ones that challenge us to grow. We're not here to stir up division. Our heart is to encourage, to uplift, and to press into the gospel with boldness. Because growth happens in discomfort. Faith deepens when we're willing to face the hard questions. So let's lean in. Let's explore. Let's learn. Let's walk this journey together. This is Uncomfortable. Ready to shake up the conversation? Let's get started. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Kirk, joined by Vince, and this week we have a very special episode for you. This is the kickoff of a new series to where we have some folks in from Christ for the Nations. They're in here recording with us, and we're going to invite them into some uncomfortable conversations about some different topics. Vince, tell us a little bit about what's going on over there and what they've been up to for the last week or so.
Well, for the last several weeks of the summer, Christ for the Nations, during the summertime, they host two camps. They do a youth camp called Youth for the Nations, and then they do a kids camp called Kids for the Nations, of which my youngest, I've told you before, he serves as a junior intern there. And these guys are all interns at Youth for the Nations in various facets and forms and all the little wonderful pieces that come with that of being ready in an instantaneous moment and being flung into things that you really don't know what you're doing until you get flung into it, and you're like, oh, okay, great, let me take a shot at that. But that's the wonderful world of youth ministry and kids ministry. Half the time, you're flung into things that you're not 100% sure that you know what you're doing until you've done it a couple times.
Well, you know, that's perfect, though, because it'll get them ready for real-world ministry.
That's true.
I know when I'm in the jungle out in, you know, Peru, many times, you know, you have a plan. You have, okay, we're going to go to this village here, we're going to go to this one, but all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit does something, and everything changes. Your day totally gets turned upside down, or it could be that there's an uprising of a group that's going to, you know, doing some sort of protest, and all of a sudden, now it's too dangerous to go to one area, or you're going into a dangerous area to talk to a group that's been attacking boats, or, you know, whatever it is, but things change so quickly that you never know what's coming next. And that's so real life ministry reflects exactly, you know, when you're in the mission field, that is. It's
funny thing is, if you didn't say you were in the middle of the jungle, I was going to think you were talking about here right now, but random protests popping up and stuff happening. And I'm like, wait, are we talking about right here in the United States, or are we talking about in the jungle? So
no, we're talking about in the jungle, but you're right. It's gotten a little crazy here lately in our own country.
So why don't we go around and have those guys introduce themselves quick instead of us taking that big old time to do that. So, guys.
All right. Well, my name is Clayton. Originally, I am from Illinois, born and raised, and then moved down to Texas about 10 years ago. I've been going to Christ for the Nations for about 2 years. I'm going into my third year for a worship major, and then I'm going to do a second major for a fourth year.
Wow, I love it.
And do pastoral.
Worship and pastoral.
Worship and pastoral,
you got that thing. Come on. I love it.
No, I mean, and it's one of the things where it's just like, God's not really giving me something specific except for the worship and pastoral stuff. And it's like not a specific, you know, like I'm going to go plant a church or I'm going to go into this country for missions. It's been like a generalized, like, here's kind of what you're going to do. And we're going to go based mission off of mission, you know? With Christ for the Nations, honestly, I really love the way they cultivate a heart of worship, not just in music, but also just in everyday life. Just where their heart is for the nations and for the people, like especially culture and the way they've embraced culture, but not, you know, conformed to the ways of the world, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
Hi, my name's Steph, and I am from Vegas originally, but I moved to Christ for the Nations to study here. Back home, I am I'm a youth leader, and then, well, being there, I wanted to just grow in my leadership, grow with my relationship with God, and just be more intentional with everything I do. And coming here, honestly, God has really stretched me in Christ for the Nations, as in my leadership and in my social skills as well. Even though I'm already a social person, just coming here with different cultures, different people from all over the world, it really shows you a different perspective of how people are and how they operate. And just honestly, the leadership in CFNI itself has honestly blessed my life in the way that they operate, the way that they show up and truly are integral to everything they do. And that's blessed my life because back home I'm a PK. And so seeing things, you know, at church in the backgrounds, you see everything. And so being in a place where there's a lot of healthy relationship and leadership in this place, it just has been a blessing. And it's helped me grow and see how God operates in different people.
You know, I think that's incredible, you know, Steph, because you're getting into Christ for the Nation straight out of a church environment, but as a preacher's kid, right? PKs traditionally are ones that kind of go off, run off, and kind of reject the church because they see so much church hurt, and so they don't want to have a part of it. So if there's anyone out there that's listening that may be a PK, you know, I think you can take some lessons from Steph that, you know, come into an environment that's not necessarily where mom and dad are ministering, see how people live in their heart in an environment like Christ for the Nations, or maybe even a Rhema Bible College, where their heart is just about changing lives, touching people, and making sure that the kingdom of God is uplifted. And I think you'll see some major transformation in your own life and in your heart.
So my name is Kinsey. I was born in Dallas. I'm currently at Christ for the Nations as well. I love CFNI because it's such a relational place. And I'm also a pastor's kid. So coming out of the church, you know, it's a lot of different diversities of okay, are they going to be judgmental? Are they going to be oh, you're a pastor's kid, what happened to you type thing? But no, when you go to CFNI, I feel like it's such a firm foundation of having the right relationship and a healthy way with not just people, but with leadership and other pastors. And it's such a beautiful thing because it just kind of corrects the little things of growing up in the church of that was set wrong. And now it's okay, I'm here at Christ for the Nations. I'm growing and learning what a healthy, what a healthy family should look like in the church, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, I don't know, I love it here. It's great.
I love it.
She hit a hard one right there, too. Yeah, a healthy family.
Healthy family, and she's also a preacher's kid. I mean, so guys, if there's anything else out there that tells you that if you're a PK and you need a little bit of love, come to Christ for the Nations or another good school to where they're going to love on you, show you what a true Christ-centered family is supposed to look like. You know, the Bible talks about how we are the body of Christ and that how, you know, Jesus even goes on to say that you'll have new mothers, fathers, sisters, brothers, you know, and so we have new relationships. Yeah. You know, I just found out that I've got two more sisters and one more brother today when these folks came in. And I instantly felt a connection and a kindredship to them. And that's the spirit of Christ that's in them that bears witness with the spirit of Christ that's in me.
True that.
And, you know, as the body of Christ, as we come together as a whole, we can nurture and help each other with the foundational principles. Yeah. And it's incredibly important that we pour into each other. Now, the topic I think that we ought to hit on starting today is identity.
Yes. Ooh, dun, dun, dun.
I mean, the biggest thing that I see in our world today, and one of the biggest attacks, is against someone's core identity. Mm-hmm. Let's think about, for example, the LGBTQ whole thing, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on, it is an identity crisis. The person can't figure out if they're a male or female, and they want to be able to change their identity on the way they feel for the day. Well, the reality is you can only be one thing or another all the time. It's just what it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, if my car out in the parking lot is black, and because I feel like I want it to be white today, does it suddenly become white just because I desire it to be white? No, it does not. You know, if I suddenly desire for it not to be raining outside, but it's pouring down rain, and if I walk outside, do I get wet? Yes, I do. So there are certain facts and laws that are in this world that cannot be changed. But our society today almost wants to go at it from the perspective of the times of Noah, to where they want to call what's right and wrong is right.
True.
Because they want the desires of the heart to be the ruler of themselves. But the reality is we can't do that as children of God, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We need to be those that are led by the Spirit, those that are transformed by the renewing of our mind by the Word of God. And through that, finding what our true identity is. Now, Clayton, one of the things I would like to ask you is, what is one of the key components or the key things that you've seen over the last 5 or 10 years, or even more recently, that you think is some of the largest challenges that the youth are currently facing today?
Honestly, one of the largest challenges I think a lot of youth have been facing has been pretty much not being told the truth and being told ideas from a young age and being instilled that what they're saying is truth and what the Bible's been saying is, like, it's false, correct? It's a lot of, like, what I've been seeing has been, like, it's kind of like perversion, where you're taking something that's black and white and they're wanting to make something gray out of it, or they're trying to make something gray that might not be very stark, but they're trying to make it black or white, right? Trying to make it like it's one way or the other with this, when it's not really that way. Or if something is gray, it's just like, oh, it's actually just black, or it's actually just white, you know? And a lot of these youth are dealing with a lot of these ideas where they're just getting confused because they don't have that foundation. Because even Christian families, I've noticed, and I've been blessed to have a really, really good family and to be able to be cultivated into the Word and know who I am from a young age. And because of that, I knew who I was. I knew what my identity was, right? I am. But with a lot of the youth I grew up with and a lot of the people I'm involved in, and even nowadays, a lot of them have been, like, questioning who they were, and I just wanted to keep speaking into them. It's just like, I mean, you were born this way, right? I was like, yeah. And I'm like, then you are, you know?
Well, you know, as you're talking about that, I kind of remember this little funny video that I saw where this guy tried to claim to be a dog. You know, he was driving down the road. Right?
I saw that. That was hilarious. That cop,
and the cop pulled him out and says, okay, you know what? I'm going to have to take, have you had your rabies shots? And the guy's like, no. And he's like, okay, I got to take you in. I'm going to have to check you into the dog pound. And then we're going to have to euthanize you. And he's like, what? And he's like, well, that's what we do to animals that have not been, you know, treated for rabies. And he's like, well, you can't do that. He's like, well, if you're not a human and you're a dog, this is the process.
He's like, or you could just show me your license and we can get this over.
Or we can do this the other way. I mean, it's one of the two. Yeah. And the thing is, it's like you said, there's certain things, they're foundational.
Yeah, very foundational.
And we can't get past it. Now, Steph, what about you? What do you see?
I would say something that the youth are dealing nowadays, like, it's a lot of shame. Shame in the church and shame in the family, and what they're dealing with and why they, what's it called?
All right, Steph, so what do you see as being issues that cause issues with identity?
Well, something that I would say in the youth that cause issues on their identity is the shame caused by either the church or even at home, because they internalize their problems, they internalize their thoughts and their issues so much that it just stay poked up there. And the enemy uses that to attack them, because instead of, you know, keeping captive of those thoughts or keeping captive of those, like, ideas, the enemy uses to go against them. And because they don't have, like Clayton was saying earlier, a foundation of that, of how to deal with those things, immediately they just believe into the enemy's lies and completely forget about their identity in Christ. But because of the churches, some places where they don't, where they're supposed to get their identity, where they're supposed to understand who they are in the body of Christ, it's like such a, there are conversations that they don't have enough there, or that they don't feel free to have them. So therefore they feel ashamed, because if nobody speaks of it, then why should I speak of it? Why should I come up and say?
So the shame kind of like is a magnifier to all of those other issues that you mentioned.
Correct.
And it almost becomes like a boiling point.
Yes.
And it causes them to become very confused about who they are, what they need to be doing. And then all the noise they hear from everyone else around them becomes a little bit more amplified and almost seems more realistic, even if before they were doubting what others were saying. Is that what I'm hearing?
And so, like, what would you say as an example, like maybe a couple of common subjects that they're holding in?
Well, for example, back home when I was a youth leader, dealing with all my students, I was counseling a couple of girls, and they would come up with, like, how in their age group, like, it's so common now, like, pornography and just falling into that temptation and just dealing with those things. But because no one speaks of those things at church, they're ashamed of that, and they keep that inside them.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because I did read a report recently that said that women are dealing with pornography much more today than they ever have before in the past. Because it used to be something that was only men that dealt with.
Yeah, correct.
But they're saying now that even women are dealing with it just as much as men were, even though that's not in their biological norm as something that really drives. Because
it's become so dominant.
It has become such a dominant thing.
And it's become a lot like, because it used to be men were physical, I mean, like,
were more visual,
and women would read books and stuff. But now there's a lot more women that are watching things that than ever before. It's crazy how perversion, the more it's integrated into society, the more it will.
Things become change. Twisted. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They become jaded.
A lot more, yeah.
Yep. All right, so Kenzie, talk to me. Tell me kind of what's on your mind regarding identity and where our current generation sits.
Honestly, when it comes to, like, our generation and identity, something that I've realized a lot, especially, like, verbiage-wise, is there's my truth, quote-unquote.
Ooh, come on. Dig into that one for me.
And so, you know, being in Youth for the Nations, ministering to these young students, you know, who are coming, and they're like, oh, well, like, I believe this, or I identify with this, you know. And I'm like, okay, so tell me why. And they're like, okay, well, my story is this, you know, this happened to me at a young age, and so it just made me feel unsafe around, you know, men or women or whatever. And so, like, so I just felt like maybe God never intended me to be that way in the first place. So, you know, I believe I was meant to be this way instead. And so you get this factor of, like, oh, well, my truth is, like, I'm gay. My truth is I'm bisexual, you know, or just anything with, like, this generation. It's such a big thing of, like, who we are, we get to decide. And honestly, like, it's pretty selfish, you know, right. us, yeah. to be like, hey, like, I don't care what anyone else thinks, I'm going to be this way, you know, just because I feel like it. And
that's a great point, selfishness.
It is. Mm-hmm. And most people think it's selfless. I feel like that's really, like, a pivotal point where the enemy comes in and twists that. It's like, oh.
I never would have thought that they would have thought that was selfless, because to me it's in highlighter.
Right.
Being selfish with, you know, calling myself something that I'm not.
Right. But with this day and age, it's such a big thing of, like, oh, self-care. Like, you know, take care of yourself, love yourself. You know, that they get this, like, mindset of just, I'm going to love myself to the point where, like, I'm going to decide who I am and nobody can tell me otherwise. You know? And so it's like, okay, if you're going to decide who you are and that's your, like, your truth, what's the real truth, you know? Mm. Because if everyone has their own truth and it's, quote, unquote, my truth, then it's just an opinion.
Mm-hmm. Well, if everyone has a truth, then there is no truth.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So there has to be, like, a set foundation of what the truth is. Exactly. And as we know, it's the Word of God.
Exactly. Right. It's like we had the example earlier. Is it raining or is it not raining?
Right.
It's one of the two. Right. You know, mm-hmm. if you step outside and it's raining, you're going to get wet.
Right.
So I think that's a very pivotal point that you just gave there, that there's some very deep issues that need to be addressed in our youth and this generation that's coming up.
Right.
Because there is right and wrong.
Right.
There is male and female.
Right.
There is black and white. And if we try to sit there and say that, you know, my way is the way,
but
your way might be different, and that's okay, you know, well, you may not want to work, and you may want me to pay for all of your stuff, or vice versa, but that may not work.
Right.
You know, it works for Vince to take care of his kids, you know, while they're at home. But once they get married, and they move out, and they have a family of their own, he might help every now and then on special occasion, but there's a responsibility once they become their own person with a family of their own to have a, you know, responsibility over that which they've been given,
right?
You know, because the reality is we're not entitled to anything except for one thing, and that is one to be born and the others to die.
Right. And taxes.
Well, yeah, death and taxes. Yeah. Or you could say death and taxes.
I mean, you know, there you go.
Because, you know, someone might say, well, you know, God's not for the government. Actually, Jesus says, give to Caesar what Caesar's. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's not incorrect. You death know, and taxes are guaranteed.
There's something interesting in all of this, and that's the fact that you can't lay blame completely on those that are experiencing, that are saying their phrase, my truth, which I can't stand that phrase. Every time I hear it on any show, I'm like, oh my gosh, here we go. Can we just fast forward? But you really have to lay the blame at the generation before. And the fact that, and listen, guilty as charged is what I'm going to lay out. We find any way that we can to slack off with raising our children the right way.
Oh, yeah.
And the things that...
iPads, really hard iPhones, things, right? Android phones,
and those
whatever.
Aren't bad things in themselves, because if you use them right, you can actually enhance the education of your child. You can enhance the skills of your child. Video games nowadays are not like they were when we were young. When we were young, they were basically just mindless, like numbing, goofing around things. There's a lot of video games now that actually teach hand-eye coordination. They improve certain, like... critical thinking skills, troubleshooting skills, all kind of stuff like that. So there's a lot of things about certain games now that are actually a lot, will enhance some of your capabilities. Again, depending on the game, there still are those other games out there like that. But
well, we all know, Vince, that you love to, you know, get in there and play some of those questionable. I'm just kidding.
We are a gaming family, yes. So, but and we have used that to our advantage as a family and stuff like that. But what I'm saying is, there's a lot of people that have, instead of instilling identity and those skills into our children, we let whatever TV shows, we let whatever games, we let whatever that agenda is speak louder to them than we do.
Yep.
And we're like, well, I don't want to be offensive, and I don't want to say the wrong thing, and, you know, they're at school and this and blah, 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 and really, that's all it is a bunch of blah, 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 blah. Because the truth is the truth. Whether I remember a preacher saying a long time ago, the Bible is true, whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, and whether you know it or not. Mm-hmm. It's an absolute truth. And I was like, bro, that's kind of rough, because I get the first part, whether you like it or not, even if you believe it or not. But then, whether you know it or not, I was like, I'm going to have to wrestle with that for a minute. But the truth is, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to die and go to hell because they weren't preached the gospel in a formal manner.
Well, let's just say it out loud. You know, there's that saying that says the roadway to hell is paved with good intentions.
Oh, man.
My intention was to help you have a more comfortable life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But in the process of me helping you to be more comfortable and like what I'm saying, I led you the wrong way because I wasn't willing to maybe possibly lose someone that might tithe just so that I could preach against sin.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, but the reality is, as ministers of the gospel, we're called to call sin, sin, mm-hmm. and we're what right, right, and wrong, wrong. But if we're not doing that, then we're not doing justice to those that we're serving.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be light in the darkness if you never turn the flashlight on.
Right.
That's true. Hey, let me ask this question to you guys. I'm going to throw this one out there. So especially because y'all are right in the thick of it, y'all still have a few more weeks left, and y'all are roughly around halfway-ish through it. What is something that I know I've talked with you guys beforehand, and y'all have talked about how God is speaking specifically to you guys about identity in your own life. So, and I think, Kenzie, you might have mentioned it earlier, is where's that juxtaposition fit where you're grasping with and learning your identity at the same time that you might even be crossing tracks with someone who's dealing with that same specific aspect of identity? So, like, whoever wants to feel that, I know that was kind of a, like, how does that feel? How does that? Like, what kind of sense do you get, or what do you feel like God has done in those moments where you're like, I don't know what to say right now?
I got you. That's actually perfect because not this summer. This summer the Lord is doing a lot, but last summer going into YFN, there was a lot of things I was struggling with still. There was things like thoughts of self-harm or like an eating disorder that I was struggling with. Like God was physically and mentally healing me of that still. But I was going into a situation where there was all of these students who I know were actively dealing with like suicidal thoughts, self-harm, you know, eating disorders, things like that, mental health. And I was actively still being healed of that. And so I took it to God and I was like, God, you know, how am I supposed to take someone somewhere I've never been, you know? And the Lord was so, so compassionate, so graceful. And he came to me, he's like, Kins, you can't, but I can through you. And he's like, it's not necessarily about where you're at, but it's through your faith and your trust in me that I can take you places that you've never been. And we can bring other people with us. And so it got to a point with YFN where I was so busy where I was like, God, if you want me to minister to someone, you're going to have to bring them to me because I don't have time to stop. And he was like, okay. And so every single student he brought to me, they were actively dealing with the same things I was actively being healed of. And I was like, okay, God, this has to be you. This has to be you. And so he would literally speak through me. And as he would minister through me, I was also being ministered to. Wow. So they were getting hope. They were getting healed. And then I was also getting healed.
All right, Steph, well, how about you? How do you see things going in line with identity?
Identity this summer? Mm-hmm. Man, where do I even start? Well, this summer, I have God has honored me taking the position of merch lead. And I've been basically leading a team with merchandise. We sell the clothes, we print the clothes, and we open the merch store 3 times a day, and you know, it gets swarmed with students, leaders, and pastors. So something that God has been really speaking to me in this season is like my identity, but as a daughter more than anything.
Oh, I love it.
That's cool. Because there's a lot of times where I get so hit up in the moment where like, God, I'm leading this team, I'm the leader, I have to lead, I have to do this, I have to show up on time, I have to show up with a good attitude, I have to be present, not let my emotions get in the way. And it just gets so sucked into like the, what's it called, the title, that I forget that God is like calling me to just...
You have a job to do.
Just to rely on him. So when it gets, like there was moments actually this past week where I really felt like I was failing as a leader to my team, failing to help them and understand like the different tasks and be able to be diligent with them. But in those moments, the Lord gave me a pause and said, just come to me and I'll take care of it. I will take care of your team. I got charge, not you.
I love it.
And
good stuff.
It was really hard because there was a moment where he basically told me to open the merch store without me, to me not be present there, literally this Thursday, which is the busiest night we ever have during the week. And I didn't know how to do that. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I said, okay, God, I'm going to rely on you because you are my father and you are going to take care of me because that's what your word says and that's what I want to have faith and believe in. And this past season of my life, he has been showing me that. So I said, you're going to do it again. I don't know how, but you're going to do it again.
So how did that feel when you did that?
It was, at first, I didn't feel easy. I didn't feel at peace, but I know that was the enemy trying to tell me that like I was doing wrong, that I shouldn't have done that. But then as I started progressing in the night, I felt more peace by it, and I felt more confident that my team's got it because the Lord's got me this whole season, and he's helped me be able to delegate to people and to train my team to a level where they are high capacity, and they showed me that night.
I love it. You know, the word talks about how we have to come to him as bondservants, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes,
but then sure. After we were bondservants, then we become sons.
Yes, exactly.
Or daughters. Mm-hmm. But then there's another stage, Steph, and I really believe this is where the Lord's about to, since you walked through this and he started to teach you about being his daughter, mm-hmm. he's about to teach you about being his friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's another level, because a lot of times we forget about how important that is. Mm-hmm. As a son, your blood, not much of a choice. As a friend, it's optional.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I don't have to be friends with Vince. I choose to be friends with Vince.
Still don't know why. I just
You know, but so, but the reality is that's the thing. You know, God wants to cultivate that friend relationship with us as well. He wants to be more than just a brother, more than just a father. He wants to get to that friend relationship. Now, he's still God, the God of all creation. So there still needs to be a fear of God, an awe, not like fear and trembling, so
respect,
to speak. But it's such a respect and such an awe of the power of God, you know, what he can do and what he is. Yeah. Anyway, before we wrap this up, I really would like to hear, Clayton, what you feel. What's the Lord been talking to you about in this season with identity?
Man, a lot of it has been sonship. A lot of it has been sonship this whole year. There is a exercise I went through called I Am Statements, where it talks about, it's like you write out your whole life and what you've gone through and your experiences and stuff, and you summarize it all down into who you are as a statement. And pretty much what mine came down to when I did it with some other people, it was basically like, I am a son of the King. I unify people in worship, stewarding them to the Father in communion. That's my I Am statement.
I love it.
Who I am. And God was in the middle of that and was helping me with it. And really, that's what he was talking about, and just how I wasn't just by blood and myself, but also by Jesus' blood, that I have been son. And a verse that got to me, a few days ago I was reading Ephesians, and Ephesians 1 verse 5, it says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ. That is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure to do it.
Mm.
And that's what it struck me, because I'm like, man, the world wasn't even created yet, and he in advance wanted me in adoption through the blood of Christ. Right. He knew that from the very beginning. And so it became very foundational for me to be able to pray that over myself and just say, I am a son of the King. Right. And
absolutely.
It's just speaking that identity. And because of that, I have not had as much struggle fighting the doubts. It's not that the doubts lowered in quantity. It just was easier to fight. Right. And similar, to go off what Steph was saying earlier, something I was thinking about while they were talking is like being a friend with God as a father as well. Right. It's like you can see a parallel in like how people treat the relationship with God with how their relationship is with their earthly father, just because of how it represents, right? And it's like there is a different level when you reach from sonship or daughtership and then to friendship. And it's the same thing with your earthly fathers. And I've noticed that there is a really big difference between being a friend with your dad and just your dad being your dad, right? Because I can fully say with my dad, I am a friend with my dad. I can talk to him about anything. I can, and even if it's just small talk, right? It's just like we're talking about daily life. We can talk about technology and stuff. But I've talked to many youth that's just like their dad is just not there. And so it's like, yes, by blood, that's their dad. But they don't have the friendship, but they don't have the relationship. And that's something also that I feel like has been striking identities is that they just don't know who their dad is.
Right.
And that they haven't spoken that identity over them, just like God would as a father to us.
You know, the word talks about, my sheep will know my voice. They will not listen to another.
Yeah.
Well, the only reason the sheep know the shepherd's voice is because they spend time with the shepherd, and the shepherd speaks to them.
Right.
Correct. Yeah.
So we have to spend time with our Father. We need to spend time with God so that we hear his voice, we understand his voice. And sometimes we're like, Lord, I don't know what you're saying to me. Well, give it time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Continue to press into his presence.
Right.
Pray. Praise the Lord in your private time. Don't just do it in corporate. Do it in your private time.
Right.
And as you seek the Lord and you enter into his presence into that in that quiet place, right, then you'll begin to understand his voice. You'll begin to hear it clearly because you'll be seasoned in hearing him because you'll be exposed to his voice continuously, right?
Right.
Right.
Now, as we wrap this thing up, I would like for you, if you don't mind, give me two words about Christ for the Nations that's inspired you.
Words.
And you can't say Kirk's name or my name. So sorry.
Yeah, that wouldn't be fair because, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I know it's hard not to, but.
Well, I'll say something myself. I'll kick it off. Maybe this will help. for me, transformational and inspiring.
Yeah, I think one of the words would be compound words, I guess, like God-centered.
Okay, there you go.
I mean, like I said earlier, worship.
There we go. I love it. Because Christ for the Nations is known for their worship.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about you, ladies?
For me, I'm kind of going to go based off of some of the phrases that we have in YFN. But I'm going to change it up. So God encounters.
Okay.
And surrendered life.
Love it.
Honestly, grace and growth.
Ooh. Okay, so Vince. Good. All eyes are on you, brother. What two words would you say about CFNI?
Training and challenges.
Ooh, mm-hmm. Love it.
Yep.
Absolutely love it. Mm-hmm. Well, guys, we thank you so much for joining us again for another Uncomfortable. If you would like to reach out to us, you can do so at uncomfortable@mooseministries.org. You can also support us there at the Give page. Come back, join us again. We're going to have several more episodes where we have these wonderful folks with us. And also, as always, stay strong and stay uncomfortable.
See y'all later.